and then draw, you know, draw dragon on your face, and you tell me that you are not mentally out of order. Come on, you are. Listen, I studied, of course, I had to do psychiatry as a medical student. If a man has the disease we call hypomania, a mental condition, or mania, if he enters here, one of the first ways you know, is what he looks like. If you see a man appear in a yellow shirt, green tie, purple trousers, orange shoes, and he has chain around his neck, ring on the right hand, on the left hand, and most importantly, in the midst of all of this, he's smiling. Just know he's not normal. There was one guy one day, just to make you laugh. I saw him on the corridor, and he was walking. He had this funny bracelet on his right wrist. Because I was a senior medical student, I took a glance at him. I told myself, this guy ain't normal. You know why? He had this smile on his face, and he was bouncing. I looked at him and said, I'm not sure this guy. In cerebral cortex, they're not the same, they're not the same level. One come down small, the other one rise up small. And they look at him. Anyway, I passed. Then I entered the room. Who did I see? The guy. And he was educating the guy he came to see on the realms of God. I said it. That this guy is not together. And I asked him, which religion is your own? He said that I don't have any religion. I'm a follower of God. I said, no wonder. I knew this guy was not together. How did I suspect? He just walked up past me. I just looked at the guy like this. This guy. I told myself, something is out of order. The Lord is good. Now, why did I tell his own story? Is God judging a man by what he looks like outside? No. But what he looks like outside is a reflection of what he is inside. Open to the book of Proverbs chapter 7. Let me show you something there. I've quoted it a number of times. Let's just read it. Now, he was talking about wisdom and how the opposite of wisdom is the adulteress. And that what wisdom wants to do is to keep you away from the adulteress in verse 5. He now began to describe the experience in verse 7, verse 6. He said, at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and I saw among the naive, I discerned among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing through the street near her corner. And he takes the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night and in the darkness. And behold, verse 10 is where I was going, a woman comes to meet him. Who has the King James Bible there? That a woman came to meet him in the attire of a harlot. My Bible, New American Standard, uses the expression dressed as a harlot. If you enter your mechanic workshop, your car has a problem, and I say, please, can I see the mechanic the way it is in Nigeria? And somebody dressed like me, just look at me now, shows up and says, yes, what's the problem? You say, I said the mechanic. You will ask him, say, please, where? I said, give me the mechanic. Or you go to a hospital. He said, doctor, my chest. And the nurse said, okay, sit down. They took a vital sign. He said, where's the doctor? He said, he's coming. As soon as he shows up, as a man enters. And say, he's that. He says, the doctor. And he's wearing a blue or green, you know, overall with boots, oil stains on the stuff. And he has one spanner in the right hand and a screwdriver in the left hand. You say, in fact, the Lord just healed my chest. I'm going home. Instantly, you know this guy ain't the doctor. He cannot possibly be. Why? He's not in the attire of a doctor. That's what I'm going to explain. Why did Solomon know when he was peeping through the window who met him? Simple. The way she was dressed. If she had come out, do you understand my point? Looking like a princess in Israel, he would have said, and then met him around the corner of my window, a one with the appearance of a princess. When Daniel would see angels, he would tell you he had the appearance of the prince, of a prince. Why? He would tell you about his garb and the gold belt around his waist. That's, I tell you, one of the chief princes, that is, we see those bobo, you see regality around them. Now, please don't forget what I said. I said, laws, commandments have weight. They are greatest of commandments. All right? And these are the smaller ones of the commandments. No matter how powerfully it seems I'm delivering the message, it's still one of the smaller ones of the commandments. Because I found out, if you lay emphasis on what people look like outside purely, then you are opening doors for great corruption. The meaning of the word hypocrite, hypocrite. The word hypocrite in Greek is the word actor. So, they use it to describe people who live one life behind, and then when they come out, they start acting another way. That's what we now call hypocrisy, a hypocrite. What am I saying? The easiest way to create hypocrites is to lay all your emphasis as a preacher on outward appearance. Actors, I mean, you see one man in one film, he's shooting people, he's a mafia don. The next film is a reverend father. Why? Because it's hypocrisy, acting. So that's why we don't lay all the emphasis. I just wanted to check that one in briefly, all right? Please, I don't want us to lose track at all, all right? Now, let me get back to what I was saying. But having said that, okay, I'm still explaining to us that it matters. One of my friends those days, as young boys, of course, that we were, I was not like that. I was taught from secondary school not to like fella, all right? So I did not like him. You know who's fella? Fella Anikulapu Kuti. His father did not call him Anikulapu. He gave himself the name Anikulapu. He said, I have death in my pouch. So my friend liked him. And then he started a political party called Movement of the People, MOP. That was 1979. And then, years later, there was one movie of his that my friend, that's like a musical, documentary musical something, that I saw in my friend's house. And that's my friend that used to like Fela a lot. He said, if Fela contests for an election, he will vote for him. I said, you want to vote for Anamugbo? He said, no, forget. Man with a smoke in their hemp. He said, forget. I will vote for him. Then one day, I came to his, I said, you need to watch this. So he put the video cassette in. This was around early, mid-80s. Around 86, thereabout. So, Fela was describing police brutality. How army dealt with him. How the police... So he now wanted to show the cameraman. So he turned his back that they should look at it. Meanwhile, all this interview period, he was wearing pata. You know what they say, pata? He was wearing brief like this. With his leg crossed. So he now got up to show them the back. So the cameraman, being a nice guy, was filming his back. The man said, right down to my ash, man. And commented the pata. On television. My friend said, this is why I'm not voting for him again. He said, no, I'm not voting for this guy again. He said, I'm not voting for him. He said, before he goes to wear pata to United Nations. That's what he said. What am I saying? It is wrong for presidents to wear pata to United Nations. That's where I'm going with this whole story. Bishop Oedipo, I was watching the other day on TV. He said he went somewhere, I think a friend of his, a minister. He saw the boy's hair, you know. The head was one kind. The hair was one guy. So he calls him. Maybe the boy had one earring. He said, listen, my friend. You've seen presidents gather. I said, yes. You've seen big diplomats gather. Name one of them for me that has this kind of hair. He said, go back home and go and shave that thing. Men, hair like this is carried by those who are not going anywhere. I took wisdom that day. It's like the day Fela Duroto, he was preaching. He said, people practice being at the back. Then they come. You see, you know, that scripture, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. I said, he wasn't trying to describe, you must have this kind of thing, that to come to you. No, that's not what he was saying. He was saying that it's not what you say. It is what is really inside your heart. Fela Duroto, he said that, you tell people, they go to a class. All the seats are empty. They say sit down anywhere. They go and sit at the back. Everywhere they go, they practice sitting at the back. Then they start saying, God, you put me in front. Say, God, say, waiting. I left all the seats open. Which one did you choose? Back seat. Now you practice. He said, whatever you do every time, you become good at it. So if you're always sitting at the back, you become good at sitting at the back. Then I start praying, God, he will lift me. God said, leave me. Leave me. I gave you empty seats. You chose the one at the back. The day Fela Duroto, he said that thing. I said, my God. But let me tell you the truth. I noticed something since I was young. I never liked back seats. Unless I didn't like the place. If you see me at the back, you know it's a place I don't like. I remember as a medical student during war drums, people used to hide so that nobody would ask them questions. I used to sneak to the front so I could lean on the patient's, there's this table they used to write and patients could use, so I could lean on it. I noticed from the time I was young, exam hall, I sat in front. Why? I hated people disturbing me with whispering during exam. So if I sit in front, the invigilator is in front of us, you ain't going to disturb me. I thanked God that for a long time, I practiced being in front. Are you going to say? Now, why am I saying all of these things? Bishop told that young man, say, people who are in the places, all right, where you are hoping to go to, they don't look like you are looking. No, that they don't look like that. So if that's where you really want to go, that's like the story of Fela Duroto. All right? That you make a habit, do you follow, of what you really want to become. You make a habit of it now. We have talked about the more important things, faith, prayer, all right, planning, all those kind of things. But let's talk about the things that are less important, but are still important. Next thing I'm going to talk about satanic agenda. About the next year's series. The agenda of Satan on the earth. Let me tell you something. In everything you do, you are serving God or serving the devil. Either serving God's agenda or serving Satan's agenda. That's a matter of fact. In everything. I'll tell you something. It shouldn't surprise you. You should know. Satan is alive. And he has a plan. And that plan is summarized in one word called corruption. There are different kinds of corruption. Or different spheres which corruption manifests. There's corruption in family. There's corruption in academics. There's corruption in every kingdom on this earth. There's corruption everywhere. And Satan has his own kind of corruption he's pushing inside. He does. I found out that one of the places where Satan functions actively is in the corruption of young people. Because they are the future of every nation. In fact, he so succeeded in America that Bill Clinton and co. decided to be giving visa lottery. I'm not joking about that. You see American visa lottery, every time American visa lottery. You know why? Because the typical American youth has lost drive. He doesn't want to work. They knew that if they continue like that, America would not be the greatest nation on the earth for a very long time. So you know what they did? They imported foreigners who are hungry. And because what makes a nation great is the strength of the individuals. Bill Clinton said, oh boy, let's import new people. That's why the visa lottery is from third world countries, Asia, Africa, Eastern Europe. They don't give visa lottery in Western Europe. You go and import an overfed cat to come to an overfed society. Why? Now, why am I saying all of that? Because the young people generally have lost drive. You affect the young people, you affect the nation tomorrow. And one of the ways Satan did it is simple. He taught them rebellion. And amongst the first places you first read rebellion in a child is in the way the child dresses. Listen, what I'm telling you is sociology and scripture and spiritual facts. You know, in American schools, if it's an American secondary school, every guy goes to school the way he likes. Dress the way you like, wear what you like, everything. And then they find that kids carry guns to school, they are on drugs, the girls are getting pregnant recklessly. I read one report, I pray I can find it again. Either it was in Reader's Digest or Newsweek or Time magazine. One particular town in America, the parents gathered and did one single thing. They reintroduced school uniforms in their public schools. And you know all these problems disappeared? Just by reintroducing school uniform. Say, from now on, you will come to school wearing this. Instinctively, the students began to obey their teachers. That is why no matter how liberal America wants to be, every soldier has the same haircut and the same uniform. Yes, you can play all this play among civilians. But the Bible makes it clear, soldiers don't play. And even in America, soldiers don't play. Soldiers still march and they all wear the same uniform. And you still tell Oga, yes sir. You want to talk to your superior? You are an American, you are in the army, you still stand straight, stick out your chest, and still, yes, sir! Why? Because in the time of battle, if you have not practiced obedience in the time of peace, you won't obey that time. In the time of peace, you are talking anyhow. you know, that's why, my wife is not around. There are little things I tell her. Like I said, these are not the weightier matters of the law. They are the gentle things, but little foxes actually spoil the vine. That's why you have never heard my wife call me Banky. Have you ever heard it? Think about it. You have never heard it. Banky has never dropped from my wife's mouth to call me. Is it a sin? No, it's not. Is it bad? No, it's not bad. But everybody on this earth calls their wife, their husband by their first name. I told my wife, not here. Not here. No. Everybody can say, hey, husband, how now? Shake hand. No, my wife, husband, how are you? It was discussion. We arrived at it from reading the scriptures. The Bible says, no woman was ever commended for saying, my husband is my sweetheart. Have you ever heard it that God said, that woman is so good, she called her husband sweetheart? The only woman commended called her husband what? My Lord. Thank you very much. The Bible says, you must learn to approve those things that are excellent. There are good things, but there are things that are excellent. Every morning, my wife repeats to my children, what is the first thing you do in the morning when you see your parents? You greet. So the boys will prostrate, the girl will kneel down both knees. Then I will bless them from my soul. There's no modernity that's going to make me... My boys and I, we play. We are always playing. We are very close. You understand my point? Yes. But there are little things that help you practice the big things. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. It conforms your body to obey the word of God. It sounds funny, but I know what I'm telling you is true. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you might be careful to observe all the things that are written therein. Then you will make your way prosper and have good success. Success, prosperity comes from obedience to the word of God. Amen? Amen? Obedience to the word of God comes from habits. It is the habits you formed earlier that makes it easy for you to obey God. If you are supposed to be submissive to your husband, and every morning, wake up in the morning, husband, how are you? Tap him on the head. You think you are playing. And you are playing. But you won't understand, the day chips are down, you will say no, I am not going to obey you. And you will know why, you won't know why you said no. It's because long before that, you practice not taking him serious. There are little things my wife and I, at the beginning, I explained to her. If you're on the phone and I walk in, you call the phone. No, I'm not joking. If I enter my house and my wife is on somebody on the phone, as soon as I open the door, she'll tell the person, I'll call you back. My husband just came in. So I just say, who is that? She'll tell me. I say, no, continue your call. But she won't continue talking and I walk past. No, it doesn't happen. You are practicing how to disobey when serious things are down. respect. You are getting what I'm trying to say? Sometimes I joke with people when I talk to somebody, somebody talking on the phone, I say, man, hang up that phone. If I'm in the presence of my seniors, my phone rings, I cut it, I just reject the call. If it's a very big person that's calling me, sir, excuse me, can I take this call? Yes, sir. Then I step back. Please, sir, I'm talking with Professor so and so. I'll call you back immediately after now. What am I saying? You practice little things in the time of battle when the machine gun is out. And the captain tells his team, is it platoon? Oh, yeah, move. The only reason why they move is because before then they were greeting him at attention like this. You get what I'm saying? Little things. Obedience to the word of God is what gives us success. Yes. But to obey God's word, we create habits beforehand. He said, what is the habit? You shall meditate day and night. You keep talking. You keep talking. Even when there's no trouble, when no pressure is put upon you to obey in the time of crisis. No. You keep talking. You keep talking. Then your body is conformed. Those little habits are the things that conform your body for obedience in the time of trouble. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why, listen. I told you, I'm even happy I didn't say exactly what I wanted to talk about. But so here and there, I've been bringing it out. You ask me that, does it matter how Christians dress? I think it does. I told you about corruption of Satan. Listen, the word lust is used a lot in the Bible. And it is not a joke. There's a book. It's been listed as one of our books, but actually I've not finished it. All right? It's titled, Worship and Sex Control. When I finish this book, you'll learn some things. But I'll chip something in for you at this point. Sexual immorality is tied to godlessness in the adults. If you see a society where children are sexually immoral, the parents don't serve God. I'm not saying they are not preachers, so they can be preachers. So. Is it what I'm saying? So you go and see societies that have denied God. The women walk naked. But they control the television. Are you getting my point? Versace was a homosexual. He taught all the women on earth to dress. One of my friends that wrote an article, he said, how can a man who does not desire women tell women what to wear? Let me add my own words to it, except it's in the court of Satan. This life is not a joke. Satan is very active. He is very, very active. It is a deliberate thing that have you not noticed? The women who wear skirts, it starts from here. It's shorting, 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 shorting. It reach here. We refuse to fall. They say, okay, we know what we'll do to you. Then the waist one, tight, 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 tight. They say, I'm not interested. It's okay. Sure, it was men that was wearing sagging before. The girls are now wearing sagging too. So when you see shokoto, you know they pass like this. If you're a Christian woman, don't wear it. Not because the trouser itself is a sin. Are you getting what I'm saying? But because you are drinking of the influence of the spirit of this age. They have an agenda. You just don't realize it. Why should you wear trouser that packs your bum bum very tight? Then you'll not be going on the road and be dragging your top like this. You didn't craze for head. Are you a mentalo? Does it not make sense to wear what is comfortable? You want to bend to pick something? What kind of struggle is that? There are things you just look, you just revolt saying, no, now. You see, let me balance the key to life here. One of the reasons why people just used to reject basic common sense is because a lot of times it's projected by people with too much sense. What I mean is this. Christians, they now say that a woman should not wear trousers. And I ask them why. They say, it is man's clothing. I say, show me. A woman shouldn't wear men's trousers. I agree. But there are women's trousers. Are they not? And Jesus used to wear bubu. You know that? used to wear bubu. He didn't have my kind of suit. He wore robes. That's what I'm trying to explain. Kings wore robes. I'm a Yoruba man, right? By natural birth. When a Yoruba woman wants to dress, she ties what? A wrapper. When I went to marry, they gave me wrapper. Why? Because where my wife is from, the men tie what? Wrapper. They said, don't wear female. I didn't wear female clothes. I wore, in fact, the kind of wrapper that the men tie. Women can't tie it. The thing is too long. If I still have my wrapper at home, and they hold on like this, the wrapper reader said, you can, you see, there's a trick for tying it. The first time I tied the thing like this, one of my wife's uncles looked, said, Banky, it's not like that. I said, uncle, please, you will have to help me. So you stand like this, you go this way, fold like this, and then you twist it here. Wham! I now got the point. When I came out with my cap and walking stick, I got a wife. But they made a joke. The federal minister of finance in Nigeria, Okoti Ebo, he said he was an Yoruba man. That his wrapper, it was, you know, the train of his robe used to fill the temple. So when the man is going there, the thing with the drapper back, it's a sign that he's the big man. Anyway, that's just by the way. The point I'm making is this. They wore wrappers. They wear wrappers. Niger Delta men wear wrappers. You see it. I wore it to get married. When you get to my house, see my album, you see me looking very regal in my wrapper. You'll even see my son. There's one picture in my sitting room. I went for one of my in-laws' wedding. So my mother-in-law dressed him up very nicely, complete with cap, a shortened walking stick, and his own big wrapper. Are you getting my point? So you want to make a law, say, he wants to argue, and I don't want to get into that argument. Is this men clothing or female clothing? Actually, let me just answer it for you, all right? What the Bible said simply, what it was saying is that don't be a cross-dresser. You know what cross-dressing? A man dresses up, you think he's a woman. Boy George. How many of you heard of Boy George? Musician from Great Britain. Boy George was a cross-dresser. He's the kind of person that God commanded should not exist in Israel. Boy George used to make up like a woman. Wear nice Japanese robes. He had complete makeup, his hair do everything. He was a perfect, beautiful girl, except that he was a boy. And because he had gogongo, you know what they call gogongo? Anyway, this is Adam's apple. Uh-huh. Because he's a man. So he used to tie a scarf around his neck to hide that one. That's a cross-dresser. That one is against the will of God. Not even commandment about the cloth now that's against the will of God. That's perversion. And it's a sign of godlessness and demon possession. I'm not joking, no. I told you, most of these people who do deliverance, when they see demon possessed people, they will run. Because you have so delivered normal people that your strength is lost. When you know somebody who really needs deliverance, you go disappear. Because you see a man, you know, I told all these girls that their boyfriends have jilted them. They now come to church, say, hey, you have a mommy water spirit. Yes, so I have. That's why he left. So we'll deliver you right now. Come out. Hey, come out. The guy will run on the floor. When the real demon arrives, you see a girl tell you, say, you have a mommy water spirit. The girl will say, I am the mommy water. When you hear the voice, you will disappear. You see a giant voice coming out of a girl that's 5 feet tall. Then, after that, you go look and say, they come. Because you are so used to casting out demons from where they don't exist. I'm telling you. What am I going to say? There are real. No, I'm telling you, what I say is not a joke. When demon possess person, possess his voice, answer you like this, you go look back. Because voices that come from the realm of the spirit, they are fearful. Anyway, why did I say all of that? Indeed, there are people who are demon possessed. A lot of them, you see them on the streets. I believe that people like Boy George, that was one of them. And don't think people think that he was just dressing for show. It's an obsession. If he doesn't wear those clothes, his body won't be at rest. You know the way you feel when you have not eaten for like maybe a whole day? You start trembling. It's like a man on drugs. He hasn't taken his shots. He's jonesing. You know what they call jonesing? See, man is jonesing. He's doctor call it withdrawal symptoms. He starts trembling. He will be feeling insects crawling all over his body. That's why he wants to kill somebody to get the next shot of his drugs. A man who has that spirit, that transvestite spirit. That's how he goes after female clothes. He's not trying to play. What am I saying? Those are the kind of things that God's commanding about. That people don't get the point. Now start fighting things that are irrelevant. He said, should a woman wear trousers? Listen, I have my simple laws about it. One, basically, let me just say this before I give my laws. One, bear something in mind. Ask yourself a simple question. The man who designed this cloth, what was he thinking about? My wife bought one blouse some time ago. She wears two blouses to wear that blouse. You know why? The real blouse is cut down to this level. I don't need to tell you that you cannot wear that blouse and go out. It doesn't make sense. Why? The man who designed it to show your breast. And if you tell me you don't know, may I not talk past like that? Hey, look, you know, downstairs there, people gather. Once, don't go home on time. Just come at 8 o'clock. Then you see what they call attire of a harlot. Before I used to wonder, say, this girl not get mirror. She has. She's doing exactly what she wants to do. There is a spirit driving her that's not driving me. That's why I wonder why she doesn't have a mirror. She has her clients. Are you getting what I'm saying? She does. And like I say all the time, if you are not offering what she's offering, why are you behaving like she's behaving? Some of the people that we copy on television, I hope you will get the point. Aye, Jesus is Lord. Get this point. These are deprived, emotionally deprived people. They are not doing what they are doing because of strength. They are doing them because of weakness. I pray you get what I'm saying. There are girls that they don't know their father. Their father never held them and said, oh, you are looking beautiful. You know, I got home today, something happened. You know, my smallest boy came and greeted me. I said, oh, most handsome victory. Then the sister was standing afar off. I said, oh, my beautiful manner. And she said, handsome daddy. There are girls that have never had that experience. They grow up, there is a comment part of their brain is empty. There's one area that only a father figure should speak to. Nobody has ever spoken to it. The day they were born, their mother was crying that now trouble has come. They were not loved. I don't have time to explain. You see in the scriptures, God described Israel, found, swimming in his blood, not loved in her blood, was defined as a woman. Not there are people like that, not loved. When you see them, when Tony Braxton showed up on TV wearing two straps and calling it cloth, it was not a normal mind. It was called, please love me. The girl is begging for somebody to notice her. Paris Hilton, drunk driving, she was charged, whatever it is, sentenced to community service. So she was top of the news, Paris Hilton, she jammed car, she was drunk. Her friend went and got drunk and drove so that police will arrest her too. Why? She wanted the publicity that Paris Hilton had. You don't know what's driving these people you are copying. The girl is insecure. What you are thinking? Okay, she has $20 million. She doesn't have $20 million. A demon of oppression has her. If that's how rich they are, why on earth did Whitney Houston get hooked on cocaine? Why not that she's looking for something that all the money and all the fame couldn't give? Boy George was on 5 grams a day heroin. I give you 1 gram a day, your lungs will shut down. I give one shot, 1 gram. You won't breathe again. Boy George was on 5 grams a day. Why? If that's how happy he was, why was he on 5 grams a day heroin? A lot of people that are teaching young girls, young boys, how to tattoo their bodies. If you know what these people are going through, Michael Jackson was paying a doctor, I think, $200,000 or $300,000 a month so he could sleep. So he could sleep. Sleep that I would drag my wife out of bed. Come, this sleep is too much. Somebody was paying either $200,000 or $300,000 a month. In case you don't know how big that money is, a hard-working senior registrar, well, what do you call senior registrar? All right, Nigeria. A chief resident in America does not earn more than $60,000 a year. A fresh specialist in America gets like $100,000 to $150,000 a year. To get $300,000 a year in the United States of America as a specialist, you worked hard. You worked extra hard. Jackson gave it to a man on a monthly basis just to send him to sleep. You are shortening your trousers like Jackson. Part of his recipe for getting sleep. Meanwhile, you're oversleeping. You didn't read for your last exam. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. People will be copying people. some of these people that you are copying on telly. If you know what they are going through. The girl is so sad. She's so sad. They say, okay, you have very nice breasts. Come and show it to them to make you happy. She comes out, she doesn't like what she's doing, but she has to do it, so she can, oh God, let me stop there. And you have strength in yourself. I like one thing, Praise Wohu said, there are private parts and there are public parts. And you don't convert a private part to a weapon of mass destruction. And there's a weapon of mass destruction. Let's not call people who are insecure. Their fathers have never hugged them. That's why they sleep with every man that says, okay, you fine. You can never sweep my daughter with, okay, you fine. The day she was born, even the umbilical cord heard it, you are fine. The placenta was fine. As she's growing up, I tell all my children, you can't sway one of them and say, ah, you fine. Say, you fine for waiting. The words, they've heard it too many times. I read a book many years ago titled, Please Love Me. That's the title of the book. Please Love Me. Some of the things that taught me was the testimony of the young woman, how she became a believer. The book was Please Love Me. Why? That's what she was crying for. She was a model. You know, catwalk today, join one man tomorrow. She was crying in her heart. Somebody, please love me. So you see women that their fathers loved. They don't know what's on the other side. I'm sure you've gotten my point. Let me summarize everything I've said so far. In fact, let me add this one before I summarize. Decency is the watchword. That's it. Then look, don't drink a spirit. Everything in life has consequences. That girl I was telling you about in that book, she got raped. She didn't know that she was doing things that led to rape. She saw the other girls. When men pass, they go look like this. She thought it was the normal way that models behaved. She was a 16 or 17 year old girl, and the men would pass, and she would look like this. One man grabbed her one day. That was the end of it. I've said many things, and my time is up. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Balance is what? Balance is what? Balance is what? Let me just add this one to it. I can't let this one go. I must say it. It is very important that a good Christian looks good. Amen? Amen? Stop looking like all the troubles of the earth. They are on your head. If you have only one shirt, wash it every night. Starch it too. And it's in the morning. I'm telling you.